Free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. You can join us online at freeenergynow.net, where you can find a list of past guests, download those interviews, see who's scheduled for upcoming shows, and if you're listening live, you can see the call-in numbers. We're joined tonight, August 31st, 2009, by Mike Luby, CEO of Coolerado, makers of a line of air conditioners that they say are the most efficient available in the world to cut AC energy usage by, or energy usage by at least 90%. The Coolerado system uses a form of indirect evaporative cooling that relies on the MISO-CENCO cycle, in which most air outside air is humidified and then dehumidified through a series of plastic plates. They recently won a challenge by the University of California to boost AC efficiency, beating the U.S. Department of Energy standards by 60% during peak and 80% on average. That's a unit that is commercially is expected to be commercially available by this fall. And then today they announced a new central air conditioner size for homes smaller than 1,500 square feet. The new system called the M30 uses under 540 watts of power, less energy than what most homes without air conditioning use for portable ceiling or whole house fans. Coolerado products are clean and green technology using no CFCs as refrigerants. They also provide a healthier environment by delivering 100% fresh air, flushing out stale air and pollutants. That's a briefing. We'll get more into this. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Tell us about how this Coolerado system works. It's quite intriguing. You have these units that look like almost like washing machines with like a window in the front. Maybe you could describe how it works and how it compares to, say, a swamp cooler versus an air conditioner.
Sure. Glad to. The core of our technology is something called a heat exchanger, which is a generic term, but our heat exchanger it technically is an indirect evaporative cooler. That is, it cools the air that enters the building in an indirect manner using evaporation that's in a separate channel of air. So the air that enters the building is cooled in about 20 successive stages as it goes through the heat exchanger, and it never comes in contact with moisture. So no moisture is added to the air, nor is any moisture taken out of the air that enters the building. There's another air channel that is right next to the air that enters the building, and that's the air channel that does the evaporates water, and as it does that, it cools the air moving into the building. So, you know, just a really, in a real simple explanation, we split the air into two different air streams. One air stream evaporates moisture, and it fractions off or takes heat off the air that's cooled in 20 successive stages. The air that is that does the work, that is that does the evaporation, that's saturated air, and it's just ducted to, you know, outside. So in that regard, it's that air is like an evaporative cooler air, humidified, but we just put that to the outside.
And on the front end, you have a fan, and that's where most of the energy is going to propel the air through the system.
That's correct. Yes, we really have only one major moving part in our air conditioning units, and that's the fan. And that fan takes outside air. And we have units that sit outside on a pad. They can sit in an attic, in a basement, on a roof, any number of different locations. But it takes outside air, and it pushes that air through the heat exchanger. The heat exchanger then separates the air into two air streams. One air stream is cooled and moves into the building, and then the other air stream is basically ducted out to the outside air. So when you say it kind of looks like a washing machine, yeah, that's what you're looking at is the intake for the fan that pulls the air into the unit.
Okay, so that's the circular opening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, a typical HVAC system in a home will cycle inside air and cool it down further and dump it back into the home. You take outside air and push it in?
Yes. So the typical air conditioning uses what's called a vapor compression type of technology, or sometimes it's called direct expansion. And it's a technology that's been around for over 100 years. Basically what it does is it has a chemical refrigerant. In the early days they used ammonia, and now they use much less toxic chemicals, but still chemicals. And what it does is it takes inside air and then runs it across cold air coils, or cold copper coils. And as it moves across those copper coils, it's cooled and then put back into the building. So what it does is it recycles and recirculates the inside air, and it also therefore concentrates whatever's in the air, which could be carbon dioxide, carbon monoxide, any type of volatile organic compounds and things. In fact, there's been tests that have been done in areas like L.A. where they've found the inside air is in a well-sealed building in the summertime is not as healthy as even the outside air because of the concentrations that occur through that typical air conditioning cycle. Ours, on the other hand, it takes 100% outside air, cools it, and then brings it into the house, creating a positive pressure, which then pushes the air out of the house, and therefore completely recycles it. So in that regard, that's like what other evaporative coolers do. They cool outside air, although they also humidify it, bring it into the building, and so you need an area like either crack a window, or let's say in my house I just have two up ducts or barometric dampers in the ceiling, and so the air moves into the house. The cold air comes in low, and then the hot air rises and goes up into my attic through those up ducts, and those are just little, they're like $10, barometric dampers, and they just look like, just regular vents in a ceiling. And that air moves into the attic, and since the air is coming from inside the house, it actually then cools the attic, and thereby even further reduces the heat load on the house. So I get fresh air, hot air moves out, contaminants move out, and I cool my attic at the same time.
Are the up ducts, is that something that you recommend for all installations, or is that something specific to your home?
That would be recommended for any of our installations. Alternatively, if people could, crack a window, open it up a little bit and let the positive pressure out of the house. But an up duct is, it's very, very inexpensive, and it's easy to install.
Is this something that could be installed in a car, for example?
Well, it could be. In fact, we've considered making mobile applications. Our technology certainly can be applied there, but right now our focus is on stationary building air conditioning. We've got a number of companies have approached us about cooling vehicles, but that's just not our focus at this point in time. We're, really going after the where the greatest good can be done in terms of energy use, and that's in commercial and is a first focus, and then residential is the second focus for air conditioning. Just to give you some perspective on the size of the energy consumption in the United States, approximately in the summertime, approximately 50% of the peak demand on the electrical grid in the United States is driven by air conditioning. So imagine that 50% of the peak demand driven by air conditioning in the summertime. That's a huge opportunity to lower the electrical demand in stationary buildings.
Right. And I was looking at some statistics from Google showing the projection of the next 10 years of where different renewable energy sources are going to be able to fill in the gaps. And a third of the proportion came from energy conservation.
Mm-hmm.
using more efficient techniques. And this is a good illustration of a technology that gives you the same level of comfort, if not more, while using much less energy. You're talking 10% as much energy as a typical air conditioner for the same cooling, is that correct?
Yes, and we say up to 90%, depending on the type of building and the heat load in it. And we like to tell people that the energy savings can range from 50 to 90%. We don't want to overstate what we can do. In some applications, it's greater than 90%, and some it may be less than 90%.
Now, some people really chill their homes down a lot. In our home, we're satisfied with 80 degrees. But some people really push it down. Is this something you could handle as somebody who really likes to cool things down?
Well, part of our, our technology has some real sweet spots. And since we are an indirect evaporative technology, our standard units will give the coldest air in climates where the humidity is very, very low. So here in Denver, where I live, it'll hold the house at 68 degrees. My wife likes it really cold. In an area that is more humid, say northern Texas, where it's more humid, we would not be able to hold 68 degrees. It would take it might hold 75 well, but it wouldn't. Probably wouldn't hold 68. And if you go to the East Coast, particularly right now where it's very humid, our standard technology is not a great application for home cooling. Because of the humidity, we can't get as low a temperature in our standard unit.
Mm-hmm. Now, just if I understand correctly, as you were saying, this particular technology does not make things more humid. It takes whatever is in the existing humidity and maintains that. And the evaporative cooling, and the component that absorbs humidity from the plates through the evaporative process, is ducted elsewhere, not into the unit, into the home or the building.
That's correct. That's a key difference in our technology. We add no moisture to the air that enters the building. So regular evaporative technology, evaporative air conditioning or cooling, it adds a lot of moisture to the air that enters the building. So you can feel it. It feels heavier and thicker and actually does not feel as cool as a technology like ours that adds no moisture at all.
Really quick before we go to break, the price point on this thing, you're using 10% or so as much energy as an air conditioner, but what about the unit cost itself? What's the return on investment going to be for somebody who buys one of these for the savings they're getting in electricity?
Mm-hmm. It depends on how long your cooling season is. Longer the unit is used, the more savings, obviously. So in some places, like Southern California, where energy costs are high and they have a very hot environment in the summertime, the payback could be as little as 3 to 5 months. Let's say you go up to Idaho, where they don't have much need for cooling at all. It might be 2 or 3 years before you would pay back the differential. So we like to tell people that it's about a 2 year, inside of 2 years, the unit will pay for itself.
Okay. Well, when we come back from break, we'll talk more about the Coolerado technology, how it's used, where it's used, and where they are at as a company, where you can go to get one of these.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Do you have tax problems? Then you need to call Taxmasters right away. Taxmasters will help solve your tax problems. Do you owe back taxes? Being audited? Have several years of unfiled returns? Is the IRS calling or sending threatening letters? Whatever your tax-related problem, the former IRS agents and tax professionals at Taxmasters can help you today. Call them at 1-877-202-7222. That's 1-877-202-7222. Or go to TXMSTR.com. Again, TXMSTR.com. Taxmasters will get between you and the IRS. They'll make sure they treat you fairly and treat you with respect. Don't take on the IRS by yourself. The folks at Taxmasters have helped many good people just like you. Call Taxmasters right now to get started at 1-877-202-7222. 1-877-202-7222. Or go to TXMSTR.com. Taxmasters will solve your tax problems.
You wouldn't put diapers in the dishwasher. You wouldn't put spaghetti in your carburetor. You wouldn't put roller skates on a monkey. So why would you dump your ugly junk out in the beautiful desert? Or leave an old appliance along the side of the road? It's an eyesore. It's illegal. And it's horrible for the environment. Find out where to take it. Go to takeittothedump.com. Illegal dumping. It's the worst kind of trash. Sponsored by Maricopa County Solid Waste. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Free energy, now!
Welcome back to the show. It's Sterling Allen here. I'm in Eagle Mountain, and we're talking to Mike Luby, CEO of Coolerado, a technology that's able to cool your home or building for around 10% as much energy as what typical air conditioner units use. And the return on investment's not bad. If you use a lot of air conditioning, like in Arizona, Southern California, you're looking at 3 to 5 months. Cooler climates, Idaho-ish, you're looking at 2 to 3 years, but still not bad to make an improvement on the, or impacting the environment. Now, this technology, if I understand right, Mike, is, you know, you're not a brand new company. You actually have been in the marketplace. You have, sales throughout the United States. You're up in Japan, Europe, South America, Mexico, Singapore, India. You've installed in the United States in over 25 municipal and federal buildings in Western U.S. That's pretty good. So you've been around a bit. Maybe you can just give us an idea of where you're at in terms of rolling out this product. I mentioned earlier that you just announced a new product today.
Yes. Our focus right now is primarily for commercial businesses, and the up to this time, that's where I'd say probably 70% of our installations have been. Although we have certainly a number of residential units, much like I've got my house cooled by the technology. So the announcement today was for a smaller unit that is suitable for about the average size home in the U.S. It was only this year that we really started building out a distribution network focused on the Western United States. So we've been signing up distributors, installation contractors, and we've seen a great deal of interest in people who want to have an environmentally clean and a technology that's good for people and good for the earth. So, right, if you look across air conditioning systems, and I don't mean to be disparaging about most air conditioning systems, but they really are a commodity. I mean, there's not a whole lot of difference between most of the commercial units that are available on the marketplace today. There's a minimum requirement in residential units sold that are that's called a SEER 13. Commercial units don't have that that minimum energy efficiency, but in the residential, you can get up to, say, a SEER 20, 21. But other than that, there's not a whole lot of differentiation between the different markets. So our distributors that we're signing up right now, they have a great interest in carrying a different product that has dramatic energy savings and also provides the environmental and green benefits that ours do.
So I'm curious, in announcing today that you have a product for a 1,500-square-foot home,
mm-hmm.
Is this going to be opening up a fairly big door? Is this something that the distributor's saying, hey, we need to have this? Are they jumping up and down with joy that you finally have this? What's the story there?
Well, we've been pulled more into the residential market than we anticipated. We really thought this unit that we had designed earlier this year would not sell that well, just because we are a little bit pricier, and people who are saying, I'm price driven on my initial cost, we didn't think it would have that much demand. In fact, we can't keep them in. I mean, they're going out the door as soon as we have them available right now, and most of them are, we assume, are going into residential areas. We don't know when a installation contractor orders that, we don't always know what the end application is going to be. But these are really suited for, these M30s are really suited for the residential market. We've recently signed up a green home builder in the Salt Lake City area that's planning on buying and putting them in a number of her model homes this year, and then expanding rapidly in the next couple of years. Of course, the new home market is not having its best year this year, but still, there's a number of companies that are thinking ahead and positioning themselves for when the market starts rebounding.
Yeah, we still, despite how bad things are economically, we'll still see quite a bit of new building going on, and I have to wonder what they're thinking, but they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm curious, when I think about evaporative cooling, I think about bacteria building up and introducing pathogens. Is that, maybe you can speak to that for a minute.
Yeah, that's a great question. First of all, the air that enters the building never comes in contact with moisture, so it doesn't ever move across any medium that has, anything growing on it, which, a wet side or evaporative cooler would. So one, it's separated. Number two, our heat exchanger is completely synthetic. It's completely made out of polypropylene, which, by the way, is recyclable. But nothing grows on a synthetic like that polypropylene. And then third, we have a biocide added to our heat mass exchanger, to the polypropylene, as additional added protection. So in any testing that we've done, we've found no more in the way of bacteria or mold in the air that enters the building as is in the outside air to begin with. So it went
over how many months or years?
Our units have been selling since 2005, and the first units, many of them are, to our knowledge, still operating fine. The ones that we can actually observe that are in some of our own homes and local businesses are cranking along in good shape.
Okay. Now, one of the things, I watched a video on YouTube just prior to coming on the show with you, and it was a little bit puzzled by, it was a demonstration unit, and he showed you have your substrate, that one side it gets wet and the other side is dry, that the air goes by, that goes into the building, and then these are alternate, one goes one direction, then one goes perpendicular to that in the other direction. You have a bunch of sheets of these. I had a hard time following that one, and maybe this isn't the right venue to describe this verbally. I guess part of the, how do you pronounce it, Mysotsenko cycle?
Close enough, Mysotsenko. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, could you maybe describe how that works? Because you mentioned 20 consecutive stages, and I also wanted to ask you, is that the same for all units, big or small, or is it more in one of your commercial units, for example, and smaller in the 1,500 square foot home unit, the M30?
Mm-hmm. Excellent question. So there's a few there. The first is, how does the air move through the heat exchanger? Because you said, some of it goes straight through and some of it goes perpendicular. I simplified before saying we split the air into two air streams. So all the air enters the front of the heat exchanger. And what happens then is that half of the air is split and moves out sideways, but it's split on every other channel. So there's roughly 40 different channels vertically in the heat exchanger. And so every other one moves straight through, and then every other one moves out. The air is diverted out horizontally, and the air that moves horizontally goes over the wet side of the polypropylene. The air that goes straight through moves across a thin, very thin water impermeable membrane that's also polypropylene. There are 20 horizontal channels, and each of those channels gets successively colder as the air moves through. Okay, so when I said 20 successive stages, it's those 20 successive horizontal channels that are cooling the air. The second question was, are there more channels or less channels in the heat exchanger for a larger unit? Our heat exchangers are all the same size. They're modular. So the small one that we came out with today has three heat exchangers in it, and our larger units would have between five or maybe six heat exchangers in it. Each heat exchanger is about 1 ton of cooling. So the M30 is basically a 3-ton air conditioner.
All right. We get to the bottom of the hour. We will be talking more to Mike Luby when we come back from break. The Colorado air conditioning unit, but it's not air conditioning. It is a new technology.
Live streaming audio on demand, 24 hours a day. Log on now at 1100kfnx.com. kfnx.com.
CNN Radio, I'm Greg Black. More evacuations tonight in Southern California as a raging wildfire threatens some 10,000 homes there. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger says firefighters aren't getting much help from Mother Nature.
It's very dry right now. There's no humidity. The humidity is in single digits. There's tremendous heat.
Is California kidnapping suspect Philip Garrido also a murder suspect? Investigators are now examining a bone fragment found near his home to determine whether it's human. It'll be January before Massachusetts residents get the chance to choose Ted Kennedy's replacement. In the meantime, officials are hoping to change state law to allow for the appointment of a temporary replacement who'd be able to cast a vote on a health care reform bill. 8 years after the 9/11 attacks, there's finally agreement on a memorial for those killed in the Pennsylvania crash of Flight 93. Uncle Sam will pay the owners of the crash site more than $9 million. Construction could begin in a couple of months. This is CNN.
Hi, everybody. Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Our strong Hurricane Ximena down off Baja is going to move up the coast the rest of the week. Could trigger some heavy showers and thunderstorms here by Thursday and Friday, and that would drop our temperatures below 100 degrees. Jim Howell, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Currently, in downtown Phoenix, it's 95 degrees.
Lars Larson, your dog in the fight.
Obama lied and veterans died. Just consider the fact that there's a new pamphlet out, put out by the Veterans Administration, that the VA under Barack Obama is now insisting be shown to every one of the 24 million veterans under the care of the VA. It's called Your Life, Your Choices. It seems very clear that the VA wants to get some veterans thinking, is it time to pull the plug?
The Lars Larson Show, weeknights at 11, only on KFNX.
Are you struggling with your child, teen, or codependent adult?
Is he or she disrespectful, unmotivated, and defiant? Don't you wish they came with an instruction manual?
Well, there is hope. The Parenting Workshop is a 15-hour audio training based on Christian family values.
The Parenting Workshop will help you regain influence and control of your loved one.
Don't give in or give up. Learn how to fight for them, not with them. Visit parentingworkshop.org today.
25 years of success.
Parentingworkshop.org.
If you build it, they will come.
Visit the 18th Annual Arizona Home and Building Expo, sponsored by the Home and Design Idea Center and Rosie on the House, September 12th and 13th.
At the new Phoenix Convention Center.
Discover trends and products in home remodeling,
green energy,
outdoor living, and interior improvement. The 18th Annual Arizona Home and Building Expo,
September 12th and 13th at the new Phoenix Convention Center.
For information and free tickets, go to azbigmedia.com.
If you build it, they will come.
Free energy now.
Eagle Mountain, Utah.
We'll always take donations there for sure. Or some hard work volunteering. Give a little and you'll get back more. You know the future's looking brighter. We just want to help the world today.
Free energy now.
That's the toll-free call-in number if you're listening live, 866-536-1100. Now, just for a little context here, we are talking live on a radio show out of KFNX in Phoenix, Arizona. It gets a little warm in Phoenix. I'm up here in Eagle Mountain, Utah. It's probably about 80 degrees outside right now. Much cooler than the triple digits that you typically see there in Phoenix, Tucson. I lived in Tucson for 9 months. It was hot. You could not live without air conditioning down there. People would die or not be very comfortable. And so this is a great audience to be talking about this product to, and you're talking in an Arizona-type climate. A return on investment of buying one of these Colorado air conditioning units, you're talking part of a summer, and you've paid it off. So one of the things I'd like to talk about in this segment, Mike, we're talking to Mike Luby, CEO of Colorado. Let's talk about what it takes from start to finish. Let's say there's a customer in Phoenix who wants to buy one of these things. Where do they go and what happens once the installer comes? Let's walk through that whole process. Do they get rid of their old air conditioning unit and where does this thing get installed, et cetera?
Okay. Well, the first thing to do is go to our website, and there's links on there to installation contractors and distributors in that particular area. And we have several in the Phoenix area. Somebody says, "Yep, I want to get one of these," what would the installation contractor would provide a quote for the house. And there is a key difference in our air conditioning compared to typical air conditioning. Because we use 100% fresh air, and the fan that moves the air through the heat exchanger also distributes it into the building, that's different than typical air conditioning systems that use their furnace fan to move the air. So every installation will have some unique characteristics depending on where the current ducting is in the house. So let's start first of all with let's say somebody has a regular evaporative cooler, very commonly used in the West, very low cost in terms of energy use. We can be a direct replacement. We can just wherever that evaporative cooler is, you can take it off and get rid of it, and you can put ours in, and we can just plug into the same spot. It's the simplest type of retrofit. Very easy to do. It gets a little more complicated then when you have a regular air conditioning. And what we have to do is, the installation contractor will have to determine the best place to plug into the existing ducting. If they want to distribute the air into the same rooms and the same locations, ideally you'd want to hook it up near where the furnace is. Now, furnace can be in a basement. They could be in an attic, they could be in a garage, any number of different places. If it's in there's not as many basements in Arizona as there are in Colorado, but a basement type of installation, additional ducting would have to be put in place in order to get fresh air to our unit and then take the humid air from our unit and put it outside. If it's a outside mount, it's pretty easy because you already got fresh air. If you can plug into the existing ducting and plenum from the outside, then it's a fairly straightforward installation. If you have an existing air conditioning that's in an attic, that becomes probably the most difficult type of retrofit because there may not be enough room to get our unit up into replacement area in an attic. So. Maybe a little bit wordy there about the different types of installations, but each one's going to be unique, a little bit unique depending on, how the house was built.
Also, thinking about Arizona, they've got a lot of sun down there, and typically where you need air conditioning, you also have a lot of sun. And I noticed in one of your YouTube demonstrations, you have a solar panel that is powering the Colorado unit.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually use the humid portion that doesn't go into the building to actually help cool down the panels so they perform more optimally. I'm just curious, is that something you do as a demonstration, or is this a product that people typically are interested in and are purchasing on a regular basis?
Well, that's really just a demonstration. There are a lot of people who are interested in it because, a regular air conditioning system would need 40 or 50 panels to power the whole thing if it's for a regular size house. Ours, we can power with as few as four panels because we use so little energy. But that's not a system. We don't sell an integrated system, with solar panels.
Is there a reason you don't? Is the demand just not there yet, or what?
Well, it's more about market focus and making sure we don't, bite off more than we can chew right now.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to set up a whole new, really business to purchase solar panels and train people on the installations. And in those type of installations would be really most suitable for an outside mounted on a pad or on a roof mounted unit. So in a commercial building, it's a different situation as compared to a residence. But that's not a product that we have any intention to market as a single unit, at least at this point.
Is it something that you might just mention is when people are installing it, residential or commercially, to say, hey, you might consider looking at some solar panels, or that would that work against maybe a cell and enclosing a cell, or just confuse the issue? Because it seemed like a straightforward thing. You just basically have ducting across the back side of the solar panels, and you take your exiting air from the humid portion, the half of the portion that comes in and comes out as humid through the evaporative cooling, you just run that through the backside of the panels. That seems like a fairly straightforward thing that people could do with duct tape and a little bit of tin snips and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not particularly difficult at all. The humid air that we use to do the cooling and generally just duct that to the atmosphere, it's the same temperature basically as a swamp cooler. So it's cold air, it just is humidified. So it is not difficult to do, and there's some installation contractors that want to do that as a product that they install. But if you think about why people buy solar panels, they want to use them for more than just, they want to supplement their use off the electrical grid. If they're in an area where they're the utility allows it, then they can, if they are a net producer, they can sell back the electrical grid, so they're grid tied. And to have it to just power air conditioning, when you're not using air conditioning, then how do you use the power from the solar panels? You
right.
still need to want to tie it into your electrical system in the house.
So it would basically be a supplemental system to a solar panel that is for typical use, and some of that power is going to the air conditioner,
mm-hmm.
But not all.
Yeah, you want to have your air conditioning system also, tied to your electrical system in the house, because let's suppose it's nighttime and the temperatures are fairly high and you want to cool your house. Well, if you're tied only to electrical panels, then you've got to have a battery backup. But if you're grid tied, you're tied to an electrical system, then you're still able to cool your house on overcast days or when it's at nighttime.
Okay. I want to talk briefly about your IP portfolio, the intellectual property. You mentioned the Misocinco cycle. Is that something that is part of your IP, or is that a broader thing that you take advantage of? And is there, what is your IP situation?
Dr. Valery Misocinco is a thermodynamic scientist who grew up in the Soviet Union. And defected and immigrated to the United States in the early 90s. He developed these theories many years ago, and when he met up with the engineers when the founders of Colorado, they're the ones who then commercialized his theories. So he truly is a scientist, and it took the engineers then to turn his science into practical application. So we have patents on the Mitesenko cycle as well as the actual construction of the heat exchanger. The Mitesenko cycle has many broader applications than just air conditioning, and we have other IP on the, you know, some of the other applications, but they aren't yet at a commercial stage. So this is our first commercial product using the Mitesenko cycle, and we have patents domestically and internationally as well.
Okay, and which leads us to our next question, and we may need to finish this after break, but where are you in terms of the philosophy of expanding? I know you do have, we mentioned, some international installations. What's your market share and perspective for going to other markets outside the U.S.?
Of course, our small company market share is, doesn't even show up as a blip. However, we do have contracts and distributors in other countries. We'll ship about 550 units to Australia between now and the end of the year. That's good for us because, of course, their cooling season is countercyclical to ours, which will help us, even out our production and shipping of units throughout a year.
Right. Yeah, that would help with some South American countries as well.
Yes, and we also have distributors in India as well as Middle East, and we've just signed up a couple in some African countries. So we are very cautious about our expansion overseas, mainly because of the resource load that it'll take on our part to get people properly set up. But still, we've got a lot of interest.
Well, when we come back from break, let's talk about your manufacturing and how you're going to keep up with all this.
Okay.
Do you have an IRA, 401k, or investment account that's not getting the attention it should be? Maybe you've stopped even looking at your statements and you're not really sure what to do. Let's face it, holding and hoping has never been a very effective investment strategy. At WealthPro Financial, we've been advising investors since 1992. We know these are difficult times, so we'd like to offer you a second opinion for free. Look, what you don't know can hurt you. There are investment alternatives and reasonable approaches that have been working that we've been using with our clients. Importantly, at WealthPro Financial, our independent wealth advisors have no proprietary products and no conflicts of interest. Instead, our focus is on making sure our clients are provided personalized, unbiased, and timely advice based on their specific situation. Don't procrastinate. Please call us today at 480-275-5208 to schedule your complimentary portfolio review. Again, that number is 480-275-5208. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
I plugged the ScanGauge 2 into my car in 10 seconds and could read my gas mileage instantly. It helped me save on fuel by improving my driving habits. If my check engine light turns on, I can figure out why without paying a mechanic. This device has saved me money.
The ScanGauge also provides information about engine load, ignition timing, and on my vehicle, it tells me the transmission temperature.
The ScanGauge is manufactured right here in Mesa. Call us at 480-656-3842 or visit us online at ScanGauge.com. Again, that's 480-656-3842.
Are you currently involved in a workplace dispute? The Law Office of W. Blake Sims represents employers and employees in claims involving wrongful termination, wages, overtime, non-compete agreements, and more. Call the Law Office of W. Blake Sims today, 602-312-1130. They provide representation in all aspects of employment law. For a description of the firm and a full list of practice areas, visit www.wbsimslaw.com. Call Blake Sims today, 602-312-1130.
Free energy now.
Sterling Allen coming back at you. I'm your host for the show, Free Energy Now. We have as our guest this evening Mike Luby, CEO of Colorado from Colorado. That's a very good name, by the way. It's a fun play on words. points your location or your headquarters. It's easy to remember. These are all attributes that make it for good marketing. So congratulations on that. Your domain is coolerado.com, is that correct?
That's correct. And one interesting tidbit about the Coolerado name is it was suggested to us by Dr. Valery Mysosenko, who is one of the founders of the company, and he grew up in the Soviet Union. English is his second language, so I think it's just really unique that he came up with such a great name for us.
That's awesome. That's really sweet. And your air conditioner, for those who have just joined us in Arizona, uses as little as 10% of the energy required by most efficient conventional systems, and yet produces the same quality of the cooling for the unit, whether it's commercial or residential. Let's talk about manufacturing, and where do you manufacture, and what are your plans to expand?
Well, we manufacture the key, our secret sauce, our key ingredient is the heat exchanger in Colorado. And the rest of the air conditioning system is relatively simple. It consists of a fan to move the air through the heat exchanger, a box around the heat exchangers, and a very simple water delivery system that just takes whatever the municipal water is and puts it into the heat exchanger. So to produce the rest of the unit is very simple, and lots of companies can do that, basically bend metal and assemble. So we currently have contract manufacturers who make the actual air conditioning units on the East Coast and the West Coast. So our model is we make the heat exchangers. That's our core IP and our proprietary patented product. We do the designs for the air conditioning system, and then we have a contract manufacturer who can scale very rapidly as we have demand. Our pinch point right now is making our heat exchangers, and so we are currently adding 3 more production lines in Colorado, with plans to expand up to 10 more lines to make the heat exchangers. Getting ready for what we anticipate will be a breakout year next year for production.
A couple of key points we've not addressed yet is on the front end, as the air is coming into your unit, there is a filter. And that's a standard filter?
That's correct. Just like you'd have a filter for a furnace or another air conditioning system, it's just a standard filter that filters out. You can put a very high MERV 10, 12, taking out very small particulate matter, or just regular standard filter.
Another thing we've not addressed yet is the water usage. How much water? This is an evaporative cooling, so you've got water that's evaporating off. How much water does this use?
That's a great question. There's been, I can put it in terms of, here's the actual water usage, which is about 2 gallons of water per ton hour of cooling. So, a 1-ton air conditioner would use about 2 gallons of water per hour. This M30 would use about 6 gallons of water per hour when it's running at its max capacity. Now let's compare that to this Western Cooling Challenge that you mentioned earlier on the program, that we were the first winner announced of that. Their standards, their aggressive standards, were on the order of 3 gallons of water per ton hour of cooling. And we exceeded their aggressive standards for water use by one-third. Moreover, most people don't realize that it takes a lot of water to produce electricity. Roughly 50% of the power produced in the United States is basically coal power plants. Takes a lot of water. Also, hydropower, it takes a lot of water. When you think of the lake and the evaporation that occurs behind it, water going through the turbine. So on average, the amount of water that it takes to produce the electricity is actually about equal to the amount of water that we use in our air conditioning system and save electricity. So maybe a little bit complicated concept there. But
that makes sense. You're saying the amount of the water that it takes to generate electricity, whether it's a hydro system and you've got the dam evaporation from the big lake body of water behind the reservoir behind the dam,
mm-hmm.
or you've got your coal plants and you've got the water that's going through to steam and then generate electricity, the steam's going up in the air. Because you're using 10% the amount of energy of a typical air conditioner, even though you're using 2 gallons per ton hour of cooling, the amount of water that's not being used on the electricity generation side, it's a wash, so that you're actually not using any more water than a typical air conditioner is using when you look at the whole system, the grid included.
Exactly. So on a regional basis, the life cycle use of water and power, we're about neutral. We have to make sure that people understand their water usage will go up when they use our units. But it's like two orders of magnitude difference. This is a rough rule of thumb. Say you save $1,000 a year in electricity using our air conditioner. You might spend $10 to $20, maybe $100 a year in extra water.
Okay, and so, one other thing I wanted to throw out, maybe a bit of a curveball, there are technologies that can harness water from the air using a dehumidification process. You have the water condensing on coils and it drips off, and I'm curious if this technology of yours would be a good fit for a dehumidifier that's producing water from air, so you'd have the water from air unit first, and then you would have that less humid air then going to your unit to provide cool air for the premises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very interesting question. We're asked that often. If you think about how water from air technology works, it's basically an air conditioning system. It uses the same vapor compression cycle. It has a compressor. It has copper coils that cools the copper coils, and that is a very high consumer of energy. It uses lots of energy. So net-net, to take that water out of the air using that type of vapor compression cycle will use more energy than the cooling that we do and the savings you'd get using our air conditioning. So it's not a net good use of power.
If somebody was to install one of those, they were just set on using that system, would it make sense to put that unit in tandem with your unit for the benefits mentioned?
Yes, and in fact, go a little bit further now. We have a new system that we've developed for a more humid environment, and this is the system that was tested by UC Davis and the National Renewable Energy Laboratory and is the winner of that Western Cooling Challenge. It is a combination, it's a hybrid system, a combination of a typical air conditioning with our heat exchanger. And this can get about a 50% energy savings no matter what the environment. And here's what we do. Because we can put vapor compression or typical air conditioning when it's combined with ours, we can put it on steroids. We take our working air stream, that's the air that is humidified, and we use that to cool the condensing coils, which are trying to get rid of the heat of that vapor compression system. By doing that, we can have a smaller compressor, much lower energy use out of that typical air conditioning component. So your question about dehumidifying the air, that happens in our hybrid, but it has to be an integrated system. It's not a system that you could kind of, some people have tried cobbling together, and it does a pretty good job. It doesn't get the dramatic savings that our hybrid does, but it's a, we've got some people who have done that in the past, and it's okay. The hybrid, though, puts that vapor compression system on steroids.
All right. Got a couple minutes left. Is there any key points that we've not covered yet?
I think if somebody wants to come away from this and say, what is Coolerado? We are economic green. That is, we first of all save a whole bunch of money. Second, we're healthy for people. and third, we're good for the planet. And so economically, we lead with the energy savings because, you know, I grew up in California so a long time ago, so I've been in the environmental movement for a long time. But still, economics is what matters because that's what people will ultimately buy on. So we're an economic green product.
All right. Well, that's a good note to wrap up on. Again, your website is coolerado.com, and people, if they want to get involved either in as customers or as distributors, they would go there?
That's correct. That'd be where to find out a little bit more about our products, see our units, and then find out about installation contractors and distributors.
What about investment? Are you a publicly traded company, or what's the story there?
We're not publicly traded. We do, however, we're doing fundraising right now, and if somebody has an interest in investing in Coolerado, they can contact us through the website, or write to us through the website, and our phone numbers are there as well, and we'll send them a private placement package.
Well, Mike, thanks for joining us. We've been talking to Mike Luby, CEO of Coolerado, the company that is selling innovative air conditioning that uses as much, a little as 10% of the energy required.
Thank you, Sterling.
Thanks for joining us.
Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.